Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Ryan Hamner has been in and out of hospital since he was 3 years old. He's a 4-time cancer survivor and a musician, and he also gives back to the cancer community by playing the music that has gotten him through his treatment and recovery. Currently, he's on his Hear the Heart tour across the Southeast, and let's meet him right now. How are you today, Ryan?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. So I want to jump right in and tell me your story.
Well, I was misdiagnosed early on at the age of around 3 years old. They had thought I was having allergies, that kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
And I think I was finally diagnosed when I was around 5 or 6. It's been so long ago, it's really hard for me to remember, plus all the medication you add to that. So,
right.
So I started getting my radiation treatments the first go-round.
What stage were you when you were diagnosed?
You know, I don't really remember all those details because, like I said, I was just a kid.
Right.
You know, my parents never really gave me that info, so I don't have a clue, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I know the first time around that it was just chemo, and then the second time was when I was 9 years old. Now, in between there, of course, I had the laparotomy. You know, they used to take out your spleen, all that good stuff. But then I had chemo again when I was 9 and radiation again.
Wow.
So I was good for another year. I had a complication. I had to have a surgery from a previous surgery. And then when I was 11, I had an occurrence around my pancreas, and I had to have radiation again and lots of chemo, more surgeries. And then 7th and 8th grade, I always go by grades. Let's see, 89, 90, I had a lot of trouble with reflux from radiation.
Oh, yes.
Scar tissue that built up in my esophagus. Some other problems with sleep, that kind of thing, and till all through high school. And then the end of high school, you know, I had these lymph nodes, and I kept, you know, I was always worried about them. They were always like, well, let's watch them. Let's just watch them.
And, hey, so you don't like it when doctors say watch them. It's like, why don't you, like, do something?
Yeah, yeah.
Not just watch them. You know, the TV should be watched. My lymph nodes need to check out.
Oh, I agree. And, well, we watched them, and they, sure enough, it was Hodgkin's, and we didn't do anything about it till I was 21. So it went from, I guess, when I was 18 till I was 21, and that's when we finally said, okay, let's do something. And of course, they went in there and they did some cutting, and they found out that it was Hodgkin's again, and that's when I had more chemo and all that good stuff. Had my bone marrow transplant.
Wow.
And so yeah.
Did you now you found a donor right away?
Well, I had the autologous, which is, you know, where they take your own, clean it, and then they kill off what's left, and they give you back the good bone marrow. So.
Oh, I've never heard of that. Wow. Because I know a lot of people are on the bone marrow donor list. And while we're talking about it, if you can donate or get on the registry, please do. Help save a life. So that was in high school when you were 21.
Well, I mean, when high school, right after I graduated, when we started watching it, and then when I was 21, when I, you know, from 18 to 21 is how long we watched it, and that's when we finally decided, okay, yeah, let's take a look and see, and sure enough, it was Hodgkin's lymphoma again. So
you've been pretty much in the hospital since you were 3, in and out.
Yeah, I've had a lot of, trips to the hospital, and then just what a lot of people don't understand is the, you know, all the after effects of the treatments and stuff like that, and the infections that go along with having a really crappy immune system and stuff like that. So,
and people always have told me, like, oh, when you're done with chemo, it's like, well, you're done. You should be fine by now. Like, you know, and you're still feeling, I'm sure like you, you're probably still feeling residual effects even now or even, you know, here and there.
We actually didn't even know till when I was, I guess, 30 years old, I went to an endocrinologist, and I just wanted to have some tests run and see, because I just figured after all that treatment, there had to be something that was going on with my body that wasn't right because I was tired a lot.
Right.
Something was off. So went and we ran all these tests, and my testosterone was really, really low. Like, you know, we're talking like 90-year-old man low.
Oh.
Then my thyroid was way off, and so, you know, they had to put me on testosterone and do the whole thyroid medication thing. And I feel a lot better now. I do a lot of supplementation and work out and try to take care of myself, but you kind of just have to be your own advocate.
Exactly. Yeah, I like what you say about being your own advocate. That's what I don't want to say preach, but that's what I talk about a lot. If you're feeling well, if you're not feeling well, I mean, if you're 3 years old, it's hard to say, but, you know, if you're not feeling well, go to the doctor. You know, don't, like you said, they wanted to watch it. If somebody says, well, let's watch and wait, I would rather have a biopsy or something or an ultrasound and check it out than rather watch and wait.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think as cancer survivors, we're a little bit more proactive than most. And then when, you know, because I think when people go to the doctor and the doctor says, oh, well, watch it, you know, most people breathe a sigh of relief, like, okay, I don't have to worry about it now. We'll just watch it. I think, like you said, proactivity is the most important thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So now you're out of high school. You did your chemo and everything. What have you done since then, since you're 34 now?
When I got sick the last time, I had to drop out of college and quit everything, basically. And so when I finished up my bone marrow transplant, I went back. I finished up college. I worked for a few years at a corporation, and it was just kind of hard on me because I was, you know, I went straight into it from, I guess, about a year out from the transplant. I was really, really tired, and I was still getting sick, still having infections, still feeling a little puny. So that wasn't working out for me. So I started a little business on the side from home that made enough for me to get by. So you know, I started doing that, which helped me because, you know, I could rest when I needed to and, you know, just kind of lay low when I felt like I was getting sick or just needed the extra rest. But then, of course, I've always done my music. And even when I was sick, I was doing my music. And so I started doing that a little more seriously when I left the corporate world. And since then, I've had, you know, of course, two songs licensed for TV and had my first commercial record come out in 2008.
Excellent. Well, tell me about the songs on TV. Where were they on?
The first song was actually, it was called Everything You Need, and it was on a demo. I mean, it was recorded in Nashville, so it was a little better than demo quality, but I wasn't really crazy about my vocals. I wanted to go back and re-record the song as far as the vocals were concerned, but they liked it as it was, and I wasn't going to argue with it, so they licensed that for, it was, I'd have to go look it up. I think it was Road Rules, My Sweet 16,
Nice.
Bad Girls Club, and there were a couple others on there. And then How You Say, which is on the new record, Between the Lines, was licensed for a few major TV networks, just general licenses, which means they can just use them whenever. So
that's excellent. You know, how many people try to do that and just don't get anywhere? I mean, that's excellent.
Yeah.
It's very hard to break into television or any kind of composing.
Oh, yes, definitely.
Now, what instruments do you play? And did you start playing when you were ill, like just to take your mind off your illness?
I play guitar, a little bit of piano, and some harmonica. And I started playing probably when I was about 13 years old. And when I got sick the last time, I had a little four-track recorder I kept in my room. And my dad had a keyboard that had a bunch of tracks on it. And, you know, you could do drum loops and all kinds of crazy stuff on it.
Right.
And I did a lot of recording and writing, and you know, I was on those anti-nausea medications, and I had to take advantage of that with writing some music.
Yes.
So I recorded some stuff back then, and you know, it was kind of funny. I still go listen to it sometimes, but yeah, it helped. I think it just helped me with my songwriting period. It's just, you know, like anything else, the more you do it, the better you get at it. But yeah, I've always written since then, and I did my book, of course, which is not a song, but the children's book. When I got well, I guess, and I came home in 98 from Atlanta from the transplant, and I started the book shortly after that.
Well, I looked on your Facebook page. It doesn't say anything about the book, so tell me about the book.
The book is basically, it's a book for kids with cancer, and it just kind of explains treatment. It's a storybook. It's got pictures and a short little story, and the characters are named after people I met or knew while I was sick. And,
awesome.
Yeah, there were names of different patients in the book, or nurses and doctors, that kind of thing. Blue Cross Blue Shield published it, so, you know, that was kind of cool. I got to fly around with the book and go to different hospitals and read it and meet people, and it was fun.
Well, that's very cool. What's the name of the book?
It's called You Will Be All Right, Buddy, and I don't know where it is now. It was distributed to a lot of different hospitals and cancer centers and Ronald McDonald Houses, that kind of thing, but I don't think that you can buy it in any stores. It's in some libraries, but I really cannot tell you where to get it right now.
Well, how long ago did you write that?
It came out in 2000, and all the money from the sale of the book went to different charities. So, you know, we sold out, of course, and
right.
I have just a few little copies left. So
that's awesome. I had no idea. And I actually just saw a book at some little rest stop that I was at about how to deal with cancer from kids, and I don't think it was yours, but that's excellent. Because a lot of people don't think about either the kids who have the cancer or how it's going to affect, you know, your children, you know, if
yeah.
you're the adult or anything. So that's perfect. Excellent. Because that's one of the things we try to talk about here as well, is how it affects the rest of your family as well as you. Because people tend to forget the caregivers as well, because they're going through it just as much as you are.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you did the book, and I'm blown away. This is awesome. Music on television. You have your own book, your own corporation. Now tell me about your music that you've written.
Now the music I've written is, well, my newest CD is called Between the Lines, and that CD is coming out. Actually, you can get it on the website right now, but it's been available digitally for a few months now, but the official release date is June 28th, and I'm starting my Hear the Heart tour to accompany that, the release of that record, and the single is The View, which is its release date on some radio stations is July 5th, and that's available. You can download the record pretty much through any online media outlet like Amazon and iTunes and Rhapsody, eMusic, all of those. So, but the biggest thing going right now is the Hear the Heart tour this summer, which is sponsored by Hope Lab. And
what is Hope Lab?
Hope Lab, they put out a video game called Remission.
Oh, sweet.
And it's a video game for people with cancer. It's a really, really sharp video game. And I was in a focus group on that video game, actually, and I guess it was around 2000. But you can read more about it at hopelab.org. And I think they're just giving away free copies of it. So it's a really cool game to check out, and it'll run on any PC or computer, period. So, you know, you just contact them, and I think they'll hook you up with a game. So, but yeah, they're sponsoring the project, and I'm going through the South and Southeast, and I'm playing different cancer centers and hospitals and clinics and several Hope Lodges. I'm playing free 45-minute to one-hour shows of the new record, and then I'm doing a short meet and greet afterwards.
Very nice. And for people who don't know, the Hope Lodges are the American Cancer Society's lodges where cancer patients go when they're in treatment.
Yeah, and that's where I stayed actually during my transplant.
Oh.
In Atlanta was the, I think it's the Winn-Dixie American Cancer Society Hope Lodge or something like that. So.
Excellent. And do you find that your music helped you when you were going through your recovery?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm one of those people, I have to be focused on something, you know, doing something, and it kept me busy and gave me something to look forward to. You know, when you're going through all that mess, you know, you can't really be in public a lot because you're...
Right.
The system is terrible and all this stuff. So, you know, I don't like to just lay on the couch. I'd record the music, write some music, whatever. You know, half of the songs were probably garbage back then, but you know, it was something to do.
Oh, we're all our own worst critic, Ryan. I mean, come on, you know.
Yeah. Definitely.
But I think it's important, like you said, music was your outlet. And a lot of the things that I talk about is when you're going through this, you have to find your own outlet, whether it be, you know, writing or playing music, or even if it's just watching movies or something to get your mind off it. You can't just be immersed in the cancer bubble like you know you are when you're in treatment, because that'll just make you go a little bonkers.
Definitely.
You know, so, I mean, that's excellent. And you were able to get your outlet recorded and a record deal and helping more people, which is amazing.
Yes, yeah, and that website address for the tour is heartheheartour.com.
Excellent.
You can learn about the tour. We're still booking dates for that, and you can hear the music there as well as my website.
Your website is what?
It's at ryanhamner.com, H-A-M-N-E-R.
Excellent. Now, I want to go back to when you were doing your music. Did you find that that helped you keep a positive mental attitude while you were going through treatment? I mean, I know it's hard if you've been in the hospital, you know, in and out since you were three.
But. Yeah, it was one of the, you know, I'm one of those people that just have to, I can't sit still. And if I would have had nothing else to do but sit around and, watch TV or something like that, I would have gone insane. And I just like to create, and, you know, that was my opportunity to do it. And I could, you know, I had a prescription from the doctors to do the drugs to help me create. So, you know, I wasn't doing anything illegal. I was just using the situation.
Right. Awesome. And you go and play to Hope Lodges and other hospitals, which I think is awesome that you're giving back like that.
Yeah, and the calendar is on the website. I'll be in at the Hope Lodge in Birmingham on July 8th, and the Hope Lodge in Nashville on, I believe it's July 9th. Also, in Atlanta on July 7th. So.
Excellent. Are you strictly just staying to the South? Or we're hoping for the Ryan Hamner World Tour where we can see you all across the United States.
Yeah, we'll see. For now, it's it's just in the South and the Southeast. I mean, I'm going out as far as Texas, MD Anderson, mm-hmm. And then I think I'll be playing in the Carolinas, but that's about as far north as I get. So, yeah, pretty much just the South and Southeast for now.
Until people listen to this podcast and then find out about you, and then you'll have your world tour. And then you'll say,
exactly.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks, Cancer Warrior, for your help. Because that's what I'm all about. I would love it that just that one person listens and said, oh, perfect music. I know exactly where to have him go across the country and help out people and go to different hospitals, and that would be excellent.
Oh, yeah, and I would be all for that. So.
Yes, exactly. So if people want to get a hold of you, Ryan, how can they do so?
The best way to get a hold of me is through my website, ryanhamner.com, or I'd really suggest going to heartheheartour.com because it's the current project right now, what I'm working on, and it's got information about the tour. It's got all the dates laid out. You can hear the music there. You can get in touch with me. You can get in touch with my agent, Cindy Edison, on the website if you're looking to book me. You can email me directly, heartheheartour.com.
What was your agent's name? Because I want people to make sure they hear that again.
Cindy Edison, she handles all the booking and all the media stuff that comes through.
Excellent.
So all her contact information is on the website also.
Awesome, Ryan. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it. You had more stuff that you did than I even knew about.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to wrap it up like I usually do. I am the Cancer Warrior. I am a Facebook junkie. You can always find me there, Mel Majoros, or become a fan or like the Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com Facebook page. Check out my blog, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.